you, everyone, for coming to the Bear Talk. My name is Gus Becker, and I'll be talking about a whole bunch of really cool animals this week. I will have stuff set out on the table. You're welcome to take any of the reading material. Also, if you have any questions during the presentation, just raise your hand or yell at me. I like taking questions during the presentation. I went to school at the University of Idaho, and I have a degree in wildlife biology and a degree in forestry. After I graduated, I went to work for the Forest Service as a research biologist doing research. So I did research on pine martens, flying squirrels, spotted owls, wood rats, a whole number of species. And so if you have, in the winter I usually come back in the winter and talk about pine martens and also tracking ant wildlife in the winter. So tonight's presentation is on bears. I'm going to talk about grizzly bears and black bears. I'll talk about, I don't know if you know, but there's an effort to reintroduce grizzly bears to Washington State. I'll talk a little bit about that. I'll talk about the biology of bears, how long they live, how many young do they have, and everything I know about bears. And you're welcome to chime in. So I'm going to start off with a short video. It's only 30 seconds long. It is two Alaskan grizzly bears and their siblings, and they're play fighting. And they each weigh probably close to 1,000 pounds. And there's no audio. Where's my tech guy?
Now you need a password.
Oh boy.
Try bear.
Try media.
Well, it was all ready to go. I don't know why it's not ready.
Well, it clogged up in there.
That didn't work.
It just timed out. Okay. You got it set up.
Too. Oh, it timed out?
Yep.
Okay, I'll wait for a gentleman.
Wait for IT.
Tell us your favorite encounter with a bear.
So I do have lots of, because I work with wildlife, I do have lots of wildlife stories. That would be a whole other lecture, an hour long. The bears I've encountered are, one time I was out in the forest and a bear just wandered by. Like, he just walked by like he was going to lunch and didn't even look at me. The other time I was rafting on the Rogue River in Oregon, and the Rogue River in southern Oregon has quite a bear population along the river, and it's...
Thank you, Corey.
Thank you.
All right, enough about... here is the video, the two brothers play fight.
Just like teddy bears. Just scratch over here a little bit. It's kind of itchy.
I got you now. Like super wrestlers.
Okay. I was done with my introduction. I do want you to know that I love coming to Holden. This is like a special treat for me to be here. My favorite place to come and talk about wildlife. And maybe I should pull this down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tie it to a chair.
A little further. I think it's stick.
Yeah. Well, it's stick.
Yeah.
Then you'll have a problem later, but we'll be gone.
We have all the way down to the bottom.
There you go. Yay. Yay. All right, here we go. I'm going to try to go so we don't miss dinner. Okay, so welcome to the Bear Talk. You're going to experience everything I know about bears, and it's nothing like you see on your laptop or your cell phone. later on in the week, I'll be talking about wolverines. Tonight is grizzly bears and black bears. Tomorrow I'll be talking about cougars. And then on, I think Wednesday, I'll be talking about wolves. Okay, so grizzly bears and black bears, we have, you know, we grow up when we're born, you know, we're given a teddy bear and we love the bear and the bear's cute. As we grow older, we get conditioned to see the bear as this vicious, man-eating animal. And so as we get older, we kind of start to fear the bears. And these are the two extremes of bear ecology. They're not cuddly teddy bears, but they're also not man-eating, out to, you know, run away with your firstborn. As I said, so, you know, this is an advertisement for a movie. And you can see all it talks about is the 18-foot monster man-eating bear. And so the media portrays the bears sometimes not in the best light. So as I mentioned, there's a proposal now to bring grizzly bears back to Washington State. And of course, it's controversial. There are people that love wildlife and everyone, you know, like myself, that want to see bears here. And then there are people that are very fearful of the bears. And there's also some extreme thoughts that, the U.S. government is secretly bringing bears in by helicopter and Black Hawk helicopters, and they're landing, you know, in the wilderness and dropping off grizzly bears to reintroduce them to Washington State. And I'm not joking, there are people that actually believe that the U.S. government is doing this. The Washington and the just north of Washington State is great grizzly bear habitat. This picture is a grizzly bear just north in the Canadian side, just north of the border. But in the United States, in the North Cascades, we have roughly 10,000 square miles of suitable bear habitat and grizzly bear habitat. The big question right now is, are there any grizzly bears in Washington State? So to give you some context, as far as bears, there are 8 bear species in the world. And 6 of these bear species are threatened or endangered or sensitive. So we have the Asiatic bear, which is in the Himalayas. The sloth bear, which is in Southeast Asia, along with the sun bear. And these 3 are all threatened and endangered. The Andean bear is found in South America. in the high mountains of the Andes in the cloud forest. And it also has another name called the spectacled bear, as in spectacles.
Yeah.
Because you see that little white ring around its eyes?
Yeah.
So in Spanish, they call this bear el oso de anteojos. And anteojos are glasses. That's the name they give the bear in the Andes. And then, of course, we have the black bear and the grizzly bear and the polar bear. Polar bears are threatened now. And, of course, the pandas are threatened. Just a photo of the grizzly bear here. So, historically in the lower 48, look at this is the original home range distribution of grizzly bears back 200 years ago. Now, in present day, the only place you find grizzly bears, of course, up here in Montana, Yellowstone, and in Washington, we really don't know if there are grizzly bears in Washington. There certainly were, but there's a debate about if there are any grizzly bears left in Washington. And you can see we've reduced the habitat to 2% of its former range and 2% of its former numbers. And I'm talking specifically about grizzly bears here. So we have really, really pushed the population, at least in the lower 48, to almost nothing. Now, of course, Alaska has about 30,000 grizzly bears in Alaska. And in Alaska, by the way, they don't call them grizzly bears, they call them brown bears. This photo was taken actually just near Chelan.
Wow.
And, you know, why don't we have any, why are the grizzly bears reduced to such low numbers now? Well, we've overhunted them. We've moved into their habitat. We've built roads that prevent them from, you know, connecting to breed. This photo was early 1900s in Chelan, and there are, I believe these are black bears. That looks like a cougar pelt to me. You can tell by the long tail. Mountain goat, a lynx. I think these are all lynx or bobcats, and I don't know what those are. But essentially, with over-trapping, unregulated hunting, encroachment, we've reduced the grizzly bears to the small numbers of their population.
Is it just a coincidence that the numbers that shifted where it's colder? Does that have anything to do with global warming?
No. So the numbers, like in northern Canada and Alaska, those were historically there too.
Oh.
They've always been there. As I mentioned, building of roads, highways in particular, like if you're from Washington State, Highway 90, that interstate, at Snoqualmie Pass, it's four lanes going east and four lanes going west. That's a huge barrier to animals crossing back and forth. Fortunately, on I-90, that highway, they just built an actual overpass for wildlife. So, and actually, it got kind of cut off, but over in that corner is a picture of an actual wildlife overpass over a highway. So, for the last 15 years, there's been a big debate: are there any grizzly bears left in Washington State? Well, the last known grizzly bear that was actually legally hunted in Washington State was killed in 1967. That was the last legal taken grizzly bear. And what about recent times? Where are the bears is a good question. So between 1950 and 1991, these are all class 1 and class 2 sightings of grizzly bears. And a class 1 confirmation, a class 1 confirmation is an actual biologist seeing a bear. It's finding a grizzly bear carcass. It's actually seeing a grizzly bear print. It's definitive, yes, it was a grizzly bear. So these are all class 1 and class 2 sightings of grizzly bears. And incidentally, around Holden, the last sighting of a grizzly bear was at Moore Point. So Moore Point is across the lake from Lucerne, and there was a sighting there of a mother grizzly bear with a cub, and I'm thinking that the date was back in 1970 sometime. So for a long time, in 1991, people stopped seeing grizzly bears or any sign of grizzly bears. But in 2011, someone took this picture here in Washington State. And they took this picture and they were out hiking. They took this picture and they went home and they didn't really think anything of it. And I understood that they kept the picture for like 6 months before they even showed anybody. And somebody saw it and said, hey, you should show that to a biologist. So they forwarded it to a biologist, and then all the bear biologists in Washington State went crazy because this is the first confirmed grizzly bear sighting, class one, in Washington State, and it's 2011. Mm-hmm. And this, by the, if you want to know where it was taken, it was on the west side of Rainy Pass, so way up in the North Cascade. By the way, there'll be a quiz at the end of my lecture. There'll be a quiz on whether you can tell the difference between a grizzly bear and a black bear.
Okay.
And this one, clearly, who knows what clearly identifies it as?
The nose.
The hump.
The nose is one, but what else?
The hump,
yeah. So this gives it away as that big hump.
So the person who took the picture, they had no idea what kind of bear it was?
No idea. And I would, because of where you all live and work up here in Holden, if you want to be famous, take a picture of a grizzly bear or find a track. And this is just a grizzly bear photo taken with a wildlife camera, and this is on the right up at the border of Canada. So in Washington State, we actually have the North Cascades recovery area, and this is the area where they're thinking about maybe introducing grizzly bears. There are grizzly bears currently in the Selkirk area. And this area, by the way, extends way up into Canada. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. Historically, Hudson Bay trapping company. So the Hudson Bay Company, they were British, and they took meticulous records, like all Brits, you know, they're meticulous about their tea and meticulous about everything. So these numbers, almost 4,000 grizzly bears taken in this 30 or 40 year period, these are pretty accurate records. So we know that grizzly bears were here in Washington State historically. A little bit about the efforts for grizzly bear. So in 1975, the grizzly bear was listed by the federal government as threatened. In 1983, the federal government developed this grizzly bear committee, and it's a group of citizens and scientists that have gotten together to talk about how can we recover grizzly bears in these habitats where there used to be plenty of grizzly bears. And so there are six recovery areas that the federal government is focusing on. Yellowstone, the Selway Bitterroot Mountains in Idaho, the Glacier Peak area, the Cabinet Yaks in Idaho, the Selkirks, and then the North Cascades Grizzly Bear Recovery Area. And currently, as you can imagine, this is kind of a hot topic. What should we bring? Should we actually bring in grizzly bears and release them into the North Cascades? It's a hot topic. I want to see them come back. But if you're a hiker, you know, you're kind of, well, gee, I don't know if I want to go hiking where there are grizzly bears. And so it's right now, there's an open comment period until October 24th. You can submit a comment to the federal government. Yes, I want to see grizzly bears reintroduced into the North Cascades. And when I say the plan to reintroduce them is to release a total of 25 grizzly bears over a period of 5 or 6 or 8 years. This is a little bit better picture of the North Cascades. This is the area where they would try to recover grizzly bears. At 10,000 square miles, it's the largest of the 6 recovery areas. It's 40% of it is wilderness, 90% is federal land, and 70% of it has no motorized access. If you could pick the perfect grizzly bear habitat, it would be here in the North Cascades. And of course, Holden Village is right here, right in smack in the middle of the proposed grizzly bear area. Okay, so moving on, I'll talk a little bit about grizzly bear and black bear biology and behavior. Grizzly bears generally inhabit high meadows, open areas. Black bears are lower down and in more wooded areas. A big difference is black bears have evolved for climbing trees. They have smaller claws, and a grizzly bear has giant claws. They're about as big as your fingers, so 2 to 4 inches long, and that's for digging and moving things. So grizzly bears and black bears are intelligent, they're curious, they can live up to 20 to 30 years. The oldest grizzly bear that ever lived in the wild lived to 37 years. The bears breed in May and July, and then they go into their dens in October and November. Now, an interesting thing about the breeding is the bears will breed in May and July, but they have what's called delayed implantation. So a grizzly bear and a black bear, so the female will mate with a male bear, but the blastocyst or the zygote will not implant in the uterus unless the bear has developed enough body fat to go into hibernation and sustain the bear cubs. So what happens is they breed in May and July, they go into their den in October and November, and then somewhere around December, by some physiological process, the body will determine if the female has enough body fat and reserves. If she does, that blastocyst will impregnate and implant in the uterus, and she'll become pregnant. If it's been a bad summer and there's no food, there's no berries, the blastocyst will not impregnate, it will not implant in the uterus, and the female will not get pregnant. The cubs are born in the den in, say, January. So they're born in the den. An interesting thing about hibernation is when the bears go into hibernate, so that period from October to when they come out in March and April, the bear doesn't defecate and it doesn't urinate. Their metabolism drops incredibly. And physiologically, imagine what it would be if we could figure out as humans how do bears do this. Because as humans, we need to process all our waste through our liver. And if we could figure out the physiological process of how someone can, a bear or a human, can go into hibernation, it has implications for people with diabetes, traveling through space. It's just it's something that someday maybe we'll figure out, but here is a bear that can do it. And then, yes?
I have a question
yeah.
about the blastocyst implanting in December, and then in January?
No, no, it's earlier than that.
Okay.
Yeah, because the gestation period is 2 to 3 months.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
not very
yeah,
long.
I'm sorry. Really yeah, don't, no, it's 2 to 3 months. So,
that's still amazing.
So it won't have, they'll breed in May and July, but then they won't implant until, say, October, November, when they go into the den. Yeah,
that
no,
still
it won't.
Seems really fast.
That's
speaking as an indigenous
yeah, no.
human.
It is fast. Okay.
How do they know how long a bear lives?
From teeth. So you can age a bear by its teeth. So the bears, when they're either hunted or killed, if you're a scientist, you can take the teeth and you can cut them and count the. It's like a tree. You can age the bear by that. That's how you tell them, through their teeth. Okay, so so there are instances. So bears, some bears do come out of their den in the winter. It's rare, but it happens. You will sometimes see bears in January and February. I don't know what the explanation for that is, but it does happen. Maybe they're hungry and they're looking for the cross-country skiers. Okay, so some more biology. So bears have an extremely sensitive nose. It's 5 to 6 times more sensitive than a hound dog. They can smell your lunch from miles away. They're very fast. So the idea that you can outrun a bear and forget it. And I don't know if you've heard the joke about the two hikers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't.
No, I haven't either. Let's have a joke.
So there's two hikers. They come to Holden, and they have lunch, they put on their backpacks, and they start walking up the trail, and someone tells them that there's a bear up the trail, and they start walking, and one of them is kind of worried, and he says to his friend, you know, aren't you worried about the bear? You know, we could run into the bear. And his friend says, well, he goes, no, I'm not worried about the bear, because as long as I can run faster than you. So a little bit about the reproduction. Female grizzly bears don't breed until they're about 5 or 6 years old. Black bears are about 4 years. They normally have 2 cubs. The cubs stay with the female for 2.5 to 3.5 years. By the way, the male bear has nothing to do with raising the cubs. So the male bear is not a parental figure. The cubs learn everything they need to know from the female, from their mother. So a typical grizzly bear will give birth to 10 cubs over a lifetime, but only about 50% of those cubs will survive. It's a very, very hard world to grow up as a bear in the wild. Yes?
Do the young ones hibernate with the females?
Yes, yeah. And another interesting fact is the females won't breed when they have cubs. So if they're with cubs, those 2.5 to 3.5 years, they won't breed, which is why a male grizzly bear will sometimes attack, if he comes across a female with cubs, will kill the cubs because he wants to breed with the female. But the females won't breed while they have cubs. So that's why it's not, you know, they have one of the slowest reproductive rates of large carnivores. The young grizzly bears, when they're born in the den, they weigh about a pound, and they're about the size of a squirrel. And then, of course, they suckle on the female's milk, which is 30% fat, and a year later, they are 80 times the weight of when they were born. So if you compare this to a human baby, you would have an 800-pound baby at 1 year old. That's how fast they grow and how rich the milk is. So the young cubs will stay with their mother, as I said, for 3 to 5 years, and they learn everything from their mother. The females have a little bit smaller home range than the males. Oh, by the way, grizzly bears and bears are not territorial. So there is no male territory. They cross one another. Unlike the wolves and the cougars that I'll talk about later. As I mentioned, the black bear is more adapted to the deep forest for tree climbing. Grizzly bears are more adapted to high meadows. Another interesting fact is everyone thinks that bears are these carnivores that all they eat is meat, like deer. But the actual fact is bears are omnivores, meaning they eat both. They eat both vegetation and meat, and in reality, grizzly bear they're 90%. Their diet's 90% of vegetation. It's not meat. And I'll show you some of what do bears eat. This is a breakdown of what you'll find in grizzly bear. Forbs, by the way, are non-grasses, so flowering plants. These are some of the plants. These are, I'm sure a lot of you know these. Devil's club, paintbrush, skunk cabbage, western white pine. There are a whole bunch of western white pine trees all along the river here. Maybe that's why that bear's hanging out there. In the spring, when they come out of their dens, they're looking for grasses. They will eat deer and elk carcasses. A lot in this area. I would imagine that avalanches take out a lot of deer, and so the bears will find those carcasses in the spring and dig them out and eat them. Grasses, these are really soft and succulent. You know, they're growing along the stream in the spring, so this is a great bear food. Grubs, mushrooms, plant roots, insects. Termites and army cutworm moths. Now, so one thing I didn't talk about that I want you to carry away this week in all my presentations is basically the circle of life and how we are all connected. Everything is connected. And this is a great example. So the army cutworm moth in the summer will go to these talus slopes. There are rocky slopes in the Rockies, and they will estivate, or they'll go underneath into the shade and rest. And the army cutworm moth is like 70% fat and 30% protein. Grizzly bears will spend hours turning over rocks on the talus and eating thousands of these moths. So here you have an animal that weighs 500 pounds, and it's consuming this little moth.
Good God.
So what I'm trying to get at is that many times we take for granted, like, well, why did God make a moth? And what purpose is this moth? You know, and we take things like ants for granted and spiders for granted, but they all have a purpose. It's all connected. We're all connected. The fish are connected and the bears. And so A grizzly bear will consume thousands of these moths, and he gets lots of fat and lots of protein. Of course, in the fall, the berries are the main food. This is way too many berries. Okay, so as far as living around and with bears, let's talk a little bit about bears. So I'll go through these really quick, but there was a phone survey about whether people really wanted grizzly bears in the Cascades, and apparently people are in generally favorable favor of having grizzly bears reintroduced to the Cascades. So like all wildlife, you know, cougars, wolves, wolverines, pine martens, we live around the wild, and particularly Holden, the wildlife is here. We may not see it all the time. As far as bears, bears are generally no problem at all. The problem comes when they find our food. And this leads to all sorts of problems. The worst thing you can do is introduce a bear to food in and around your home. And that's why at Holden, people are so careful with the food here. And actually, there's a story, maybe some of the old Holden people can tell you, they used to keep their food or transport it downriver in a bus, and the bus was parked right here. One night, a bear got in and locked himself in the bus and fell asleep. And then the next morning, they went out to drive the bus down the road to drop off the garbage, and the bear was in. And the bear was asleep in the bus. The best way to keep keep our trash away from bears. If you go hiking now, there are places where you're required to carry this bear container. These are all trash cans. This is a grizzly bear. He got too tired. He couldn't break into this trash can. He just fell asleep and took a nap. But it's a great picture, but you see those claws, how long they are. If you go hiking, in bear country, you want to use a food container, or you want to hang your food away from your tent. And as I said, the worst thing you can do is get a bear condition to your garbage or your food. And but fortunately, here in Holden, our bears are a little bit different. They actually help us with the recycling.
You train them?
And then just some bear attractants that you need to be careful about. Garbage, number one. Bird seed's a huge one. Bears love bird seed. Barbecue grease or pet food. If you leave any of this stuff out and you live in bear country, you're going to be you're asking for bears to come by and visit you. So they're very agile. So this is a bird feeder. You see that bear? He crawled up there, he gets on the wire, and he starts doing this, and he's smoothing him and move over. And then he gets over to the bird feeder, and he helps himself to a big thing of bird.
Is that a black bear?
That's a black bear. And I live in Wenatchee, but Leavenworth is a town one over from me in the mountains. And there was some folks living in a retirement home, and they had a bear, they had a bird feeder, and a bear would come by every day, and they would all put their lawn chairs out on the deck and wait for the bear so they could watch it come to get into the bird feeder, which is, if you're a biologist, it's the worst thing you can do. You don't want a bear, you don't want to give food to the wildlife. There are ways to keep bears out. Electric fences are one of the best. They touch that with their nose and they don't come back. If you're hiking, camping in bear country, best thing to do is to go with somebody and make sure you can run faster than them. When you're camping, you try to, you know, you try to not cook. This is a great drawing. If you're in bear country, you're going to sleep here, hang your food over here, and you're going to cook over here. This is something that I would, to be honest with you, in Washington State, I don't do this myself, but if I was going to be camping, say, in Glacier National Park or Yellowstone, where I know there are bears and lots of them, I'd be very careful to do this. These are the bear-resistant food containers that you can carry. Sometimes you're now required to have these, like in Glacier, Olympic National Park, Yellowstone. They won't let you hike unless you have one of these.
Is there something about the container that keeps them from being able to smell it, reduce the smell, or is it just they can't get to the food?
That's a good question. I think it's both. I think they can't get to it and it reduces the smell. Last summer I went hiking in Olympic National Park, and we were required to take one of those, and I wasn't too concerned because I had freeze-dried food and it was already in a package, but I put it all in there and I left it out somewhere.
They're selling those Kevlar bags now instead of the bear food containers.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about their effectiveness?
I haven't. I haven't. So the reality is bears avoid people. They know, in general, if you're hiking and you come across a bear, they know that humans aren't exactly the nicest people, and they try to avoid humans. Of course, we do some really stupid things. You know, go up and take pictures of a bear, try to offer them, you know, an apple or something. So there are four instances where you may this. There are four things you should be aware of, where you can have a bad encounter with a bear. So these are the four. If you surprise a bear, if you're hiking down a trail and if there's a blind corner and the bear's coming this way and you come around the corner and you both meet and surprise the bear, that's one instance. When I'm hiking, when I come to a blind corner, I start whistling or singing. Because if a bear hears me, he's gonna turn off, he's gonna get off the trail. Of course, a mother with cubs, like all moms, they're going to protect their cubs, and if they even perceive you as a threat, they're going to defend their cubs. A bear that's on food, so if a bear is on a recent, say, deer kill, and you come across that, the bear isn't going to want to share his deer with you, and he looks at you as a threat. And then a human-conditioned bear, and those are the bears that... if you live out and you have a cabin and they come to get your garbage, they're used to your garbage, and that's the other instance when you need to be really careful. By the way, the very best thing to have if you're worried about bears is a can of bear spray. This is pepper spray. This is the very best thing. It's better than a gun. It shoots a big cloud of pepper spray. This is the best thing. This is what I would carry to keep bears away. They get a whiff of that, and of course it stings and burns their nose. Just be aware where you're at. That's the main thing about bear when you're in bear country. So there's two kinds of bears that you're going to run into. The passive bear that's he's there and he's curious and he's not interested in hurting you. If you come across a passive bear, you want to, you know, make yourself big, you want to yell, you want to stand tall. If you are ever in a situation where you get charged by a bear, you want to you want to don't present a threat to the bear. So duck, cover your head, the back of your neck. A lot of bears will do a fake charge, so they'll get all aggressive. They'll run up to you and they'll stop, and they're just trying to scare you away. So you know, basically curling up into a ball and playing dead is what you would do if you're actually charged by a bear.
So
what are the chances of actually having a bad bear encounter? It's pretty slim. In the lower 48 states, 18 people have been killed over the last 100 years. And you actually have a greater chance of, you know, having the neighbor's dog chew you, come after you, like this vicious poodle there. Some other statistics, 5 to 10 people die from snake bites every year. Bee stings kill more people than bears. Okay, so your test is going to come up, so pay attention now. So, how do you tell the difference between a grizzly bear and a black bear? The best way is by the tracks. By the way, this is a grizzly bear or bear chub. They are creatures of habit. They'll use some of the same trails, and they'll use our trail. Our hiking trails are basically roads for bears. So how do you know if there's bears around? Well, a log gets tore open, bear claw marks. If you come across overturned rocks, those are like bears turning the rocks over. Logs that are turned over. In the case of a grizzly bear, this is a grizzly bear dig where he's ripping all the rocks up and eating the roots. And this is a really good picture of the grizzly bear and its claws. This is a little bit harder to determine, but you know, the bears take naps during the day, and they'll leave a big indentation, a big flat area where they've been sleeping. Of course, scat, bear scat, and bear scrapes, where they're scraping. They'll peel the bark off and actually eat the cambium layer around the trees. Bear hair, if you find some of that on the trees and branches.
Does that kill the trees?
It would if it was not just... So the cambium layer goes all the way around the tree, and to kill it, you would have to cut completely around all 360 degree sides of to completely cut, because that's the way the nutrients go up to the... But just scraping it on one side, it's not going to kill the tree. Okay. So here are your visual indicators of bears. On the left is a grizzly bear. On the right is a black bear. A couple things. You can't use color for identification. So there are black grizzly bears, and there are brown black bears. So eliminate fur color. The next thing you need to look for is... in the black bears, they have big prominent ears, and they have what I call a Roman nose, a longer snout. Grizzly bear's face, one, they have short stubby ears, they have a shorter snout, and the face is described as concave or flattish. And of course the hump, which I'll talk about. And then the very best way to determine what you've come across, and if you're up here at Holden and you're here year-round, I would really pay attention to the tracks, and especially in the winter. It's real easy to just tell the difference between a grizzly bear track and a black bear track. And here's how you do it. So you draw a dot right here at the base of the big toe. Then you put a little dot at the base of the pad, And then you draw a straight line across between these two dots, and if 50% or more of the little toe is above that line, it's a grizzly bear. This is probably the best way for someone up here to identify what you've come across. And I personally believe that there are grizzly bears that come in from Canada. There's probably 5 to 10 grizzly bears in Washington State. They're so rare and never seen, but I personally think that they are here. And if you were ever to identify a grizzly bear, like I said, your name would be in the papers and people would come to see you and you'd be famous. Okay, so here's your test. Is this a grizzly bear or a black bear?
Black bear.
Because he has long nose and big ears. But look, wait, but it's brown. Look at, isn't that a grizzly bear?
No, you can't pull
that. Grizzly bear.
Grizzly bear.
What's that?
Big hump.
Yeah, so the dead giveaway is the hump. But it also has, look at the short snout. And the ears you can't eat, you know, they're just nubs. Those are easy. What's this?
Brown bear. Look at those ears.
Black bear.
The ears are so prominent. That's the giveaway on this one, is the ears.
Black bear.
The nose.
Yeah.
Can't really see a hump on that one.
Right. And the nose is the giveaway on this long, big nose. So the hump, you have to be careful with the hump because a black bear, so if he's on level ground on all fours and you're looking at him this way, on level ground, there's no hump. But if you're looking at a black bear where it's steep and rocky, the black bear could be in a position like this where it looks like a hump.
Yeah.
So you have to be a little bit careful with the hump. And as I was telling you, this is uneven ground. And to me, it looks like a hump. This is a black bear. Again, the long nose. What's that?
A grizzly. Yeah.
That's a baby grizzly.
It's
a grizzly cub.
But he kind of looks.
But his ears are so perky.
He's got a hump.
Look at
his
claws.
Claws are a good one. Those are pretty big claws.
Grizzly.
It's a grizzly. So the ears are not very prominent and it has a hump.
Okay.
Yep, black bear.
I can see a hump somewhere.
That's a grizzly bear, big hump. Of course, we don't have anything else to see. But. Okay, well, that is the end of my bear.
So what was the information that you had report the Washington?
Yes, so if you think you've seen or you get a picture, you want to report it to the Forest Service, the Fish and Wildlife Service. And that's all I have for bears. I'll take any questions. Yeah.
What happens when grizzly bears meet black bears?
Good question. They're generally friendly. Like they don't. There's no. Because they're not territorial, they're not going to immediately fight. And if they were to fight each other, it would be because one of those conditions, like a mother with cubs, or one of the bears has a freshly killed deer. What doesn't matter which one, the other one, they try to get that. But no, they're not aggressive toward each other. Which, that's a great question, because if you come to the other lectures, you'll see that some of the other animals are. Yeah?
Why do grizzly bears have the hump?
So, yeah, that's a great question. So,
so we can tell them apart.
That's a great question. So this is a grizzly bear skull, a replica. But this is just the skull, right? Mm-hmm. So imagine the flesh and the fur, and the flesh is this thick, and the so the actual bear, grizzly bear's head is this big. And with all that flesh and fur and those teeth, how much do you think it weighs? A lot. Well, so in order for the grizzly bear to hold that head up and move it, it has a tendon here, a big tendon that attaches to the neck, to the shoulders. It's like just like a bison. So bisons have these huge heads. A bison head is huge, and they also have a tendon that goes from the base of the neck. So the hump is that tendon for being able to lift that huge head. That's a great question.
Yeah, because your head will get really sore.
All right, well, I will see you tomorrow to talk about cougars.